And we're joined today on The Scoop by Cal Soderquist of the Timberwolves Radio Network. Cal, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, no problem, Seth.
Well, something we were just talking about before we hopped on here today, the fact that it seems like during this tough stretch of games for the Timberwolves, it doesn't matter what they do, whether they win or lose, they're not getting any help from anybody. You look at the top seeds in the Western Conference, and I mean, Houston and Golden State are pretty well set at 1-2. Then you look at Portland, they've won 8 in a row. New Orleans has won 9 in a row. And, I mean, pretty much everybody all the way down the list is either 6-4 or better here over their last 10 games. How frustrating has that been for Wolves fans and for the team as well? Just no matter what they do, it seems like everybody else just continues to win.
Yeah, I think what it does is everyone's feeling the urgency in that playoff picture, and I think all these teams are really sort of feeling the pressure, and they realize that margin for error is very small, because you mentioned everyone's either on winning streaks or at least above 500, and if you lose 4 of 5 or 6 of 7 or whatever, you could be out of it. And I think teams realize that, and it has everyone playing good basketball. And as frustrating and scary as that is for Wolves fans, I think the fun part is it's essentially playoff-type basketball from here on out. So we're going to get some great games, some great matchups, whether you're watching the Wolves against whoever or even some of these games that don't involve the Wolves directly but will impact the Wolves' standing.
Cal, looking at the most recent game for the Timberwolves, it was against the Utah Jazz, and it seems like some frustrations kind of boiled over in that game, a 116-108 loss. Karl Anthony Towns was ejected. You have Jeff Teague getting ejected after a flagrant 2 on Ricky Rubio. What were some of the things that you took away from that most recent game for the Wolves, that loss against the Jazz?
Well, we mentioned playoff-style atmospheres, and I think the players came away from that game saying that felt like a playoff game. That's kind of what Taj Gibson said, and we did get to hear from Karl Anthony Towns and Jeff Teague after practice 2 days ago now, and they both were lamenting that they kind of let those emotions and atmosphere get the best of them. And, Jeff kind of mentioned that he thought maybe Ricky Rubio sold that play a little bit in terms of the contact, but he still basically said that he knows his team needs him out there, especially after Cat's already gone at that point and the Wolves are desperate for a win. And Cat said the same thing. He didn't really speculate too much on some of those calls, and surely some of those calls could have been, whether or not it was correct calls and a correct technical. He admitted that he just can't put himself in that position, and I think hopefully these guys learned from that, because they're going to be in games that are similar to that here going down the stretch, and they just have to be able to, it's good to be in the moment and fired up, but not to the point where you're going to remove yourself from the game and cost your team the game potentially.
The Wolves play the Boston Celtics tomorrow night, and the Celtics are in the 2 spot in the Eastern Conference. We saw the Celtics earlier this season in kind of a grinded-out defensive-type game. Do you like the Wolves' chances at home in the rematch tomorrow night?
Well, the Wolves have played well at Target Center. It's been a place where they've been able to hang their hat, and especially like recently, where if they have tough road trips, they can come home and kind of regroup. Now, this is a new territory when you consider that Jimmy Butler is not available. You're going to have to cobble things together a little bit more, but the Wolves still have plenty of talent, and I think that they get excited for games like these. You mentioned it starts tomorrow with Boston, and a fun one Sunday afternoon as well against the Golden State Warriors. So this little mini 2-game homestand will feature plenty of star power. And I think, you know, the Wolves are just going to let the chips fall where they may. I think that there's still a little bit of question surrounding whether or not Kyrie Irving will be able to go. He missed the Celtics' last game against the Bulls with knee soreness, so the Wolves may catch a break there. But at the same time, you know, the way they've played basically everyone at home, save for a loss to the Houston Rockets right in front of the All-Star break, and obviously anyone can lose to the Houston Rockets the way they're playing. I think the Wolves like their chances as long as they come in. You know, they're going to be well-rested, not playing since Friday, and hopefully well-prepared in terms of this practice time that they've had here at home. They can maybe have some tricks up their sleeve.
Cal, ever since Jimmy Butler was injured in that loss to the Houston Rockets, you look at what Andrew Wiggins has been able to do. He had 21 points in that loss against Houston, and he's been above 20 points every game since. And this has been kind of one of the weird mysteries of the season, is that Wiggins just seems like he has been kind of in the background for a majority of this season, and now with Butler out, he's slid into more of his natural spot. Just big picture going into next year as well, how are the Wolves going to be able to get Wiggins to play like this when Butler's back on the court?
Yeah, I think it'll have to be just more of an adjustment, or even more of an established comfort level, I guess you could say, with Wigg and Butler, because like you said, Wigg is, you know, his natural role, or what he's been used to since coming to the NBA, is being that primary guy, kind of the go-to perimeter scorer for his team. He gets the ball in his hands more often than not, and he can create for either himself or others. Because that's something Jimmy Butler does so well initially, or additionally, Wigg has kind of had to defer to that once Jimmy came to this team. And I think it kind of turned Wigg into more of a, you know, he hung around the perimeter. He was a little bit of a spot-up shooter, had to be ready to catch and shoot. And obviously that's, you know, that's only part of what Wigg can do. And you could even argue that that's not one of his top two or three skill sets. But he's adjusted. I think for a young kid, he's really responded. And like you said, now, since Jimmy's gone down, it's been a real opportunity for Wigg to kind of go back to that role, that thing he's comfortable doing, and that's being able to have a lot of plays called for him, whether he's looking for his own number or he's a capable guy of getting other people involved as well. And hopefully that he continues to play at this level, because obviously they're going to continue to need him to do so with some of these opponents coming up.
Cal, looking at the rest of the Wolves roster, and we saw Shabazz Muhammad head to Milwaukee, and just never really had a chance to build off of a couple of solid seasons as a bench player for the Wolves. It just seems like a change of scenery was probably best for both him and the Wolves.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was kind of both, you know, the Wolves at the end of last week, when they did finalize that buyout, they wanted to get that done for Shabazz as much as they did for themselves. And Tom Thibodeau mentioned that, you know, like you said, he had kind of fallen out of the rotation. The minutes weren't there. And although the Wolves have a great shot to be a playoff team, obviously, I think Shabazz not only wanted to be a part of that, but he wanted to be on a team where he could hopefully earn some minutes. And obviously he probably is thinking about his free agency coming up again this summer, and you want to be able to put some good minutes on tape so other teams can see that and hopefully give you a look. So you can understand where he was coming from, and at the same time, the Wolves, you know, they want to allow him that opportunity if possible, and it also gives them some extra roster flexibility if they want to use it moving forward here. Now with two open roster spots. So it made sense for both parties. I think although the Wolves are shorthanded with no Jimmy, you've got guys like Nemanja Bjelica who have stepped up and really answered the bell. Even a guy like Marcus Georges-Hunt has played well in the minutes he has been given. And then also now this year, you've got the added benefit of your G League team, the Iowa Wolves, and you've got a couple wing players down there that you could, you know, you could bring up if for some reason, knock on wood, you did suffer some more injuries at that wing position and needed some depth.
Cal, some other interesting NBA news that has popped up here within the last couple of days. Former Timberwolf Kevin Love being pretty open about some issues that he has been dealing with. Had a panic attack in a game a couple of years ago. And I just thought it was interesting. We've always thought of Kevin Love as kind of this quiet, lead-by-example type player. And it seems like maybe now he is starting to become more of a vocal player in this league as well, which I think is something that all Timberwolves fans are happy to see.
Yeah, definitely. I think the best way to describe it is he's a little more comfortable within himself, right? He kind of, you know, he always seemed to be very, you know, in his time here in Minnesota, was very composed, but also a little bit reserved and calculated in some of his responses. And I think maybe he felt the pressure right away, and obviously understandably so when you go to Cleveland and you're playing with the best player in the game right now. I'm sure LeBron James commands a lot from his teammates. We've heard as much, but we can't really, you know, empathize how that feels. So I think what Kevin wrote was very well said, and hopefully it kind of breaks down the stigma that surrounds mental health, and that, you know, anyone can deal with something like that. And you know, I applaud Kevin for coming out and saying stuff like that. It probably wasn't easy to admit some of those things, and hopefully he's even more comfortable for it and more relaxed now. In knowing that's out there, I guess.
One final question for you. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. just looking at the current Western Conference standings, Houston, Golden State, Portland, New Orleans, San Antonio, the Timberwolves, Oklahoma City, and Denver, which of those eight teams is likeliest to drop out of the top eight by the end of the season?
Man, that's a tough one. I guess the easy answer is the Nuggets, because they're right there at eight right now. I think the Wolves see them at least once more here down the stretch. And you look at their team, and I think that they're a great team, and they've played well. They've kind of dealt with their version of a Jimmy Butler injury earlier in the year when they lost Paul Millsap, the guy that they brought in, their big kind of signing in the offseason. But I just wonder if they have enough depth where down the stretch here, when all these teams, like we mentioned, are going to have a real urgency and intensity to them night in and night out. You know, you think about a lot of the big contributors for the Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, very young, Gary Harris, very young, Jamal Murray in his second year, and those guys are talented. But you just wonder, outside of Paul Millsap, you know, they don't have a lot of experience, kind of like the Wolves. When you talk about Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, there's not a lot of experience, if any, fighting for a playoff spot down the stretch here as you get into mid to late March. And I think where the Wolves are really going to have some help, even with Jimmy out, you can lean on guys like Taj Gibson and Jeff Teague and even Jamal Crawford. They obviously are battle-tested when it comes to the postseason and fighting for postseason position. So if I had to pick, I would say Denver. I do think that the two teams right now on the outside trying to bust down the door, the Clippers and the Jazz, their margin for error is even smaller, obviously. And you start to worry about tiebreakers as well. Like, that's one of the good things I'm sure John has mentioned with you recently. But the Timberwolves have some tiebreakers in their back pocket, whether it's with the Pelicans or the Thunder. And I'm guessing that the Clippers and the Jazz may not have that luxury. So you never know. These eight teams that are in right now could be the eight that stay in. But if one had to fall out, I guess Denver seems like a likely candidate.
Well, it's going to be a crazy end to the season, to say the least. But thanks for joining the show here today, Cal, to break it down for us. And we'll hope that the Timberwolves can continue to keep pace at the top of the Western Conference. We'll catch up with you later on down the road.
Sounds good to me, Seth. Anytime. Thanks.